This is ACC Nation.
Okay, a couple items to get out of the way at the very beginning. By the way, the Evil Q in studio with me. I'm Patrick Hite. I know there's a Thursday night game. I realized there was a Thursday night game. Texas A&M at Miami. But longtime listener of this show know that we tape this thing on Thursday afternoon. So you will not hear any details of that game because we have no idea what happened. Well, I have some idea what's going to happen, but we have no idea what happened on that game. But if you want details, you want game stories, you want all that good stuff, go to accnation.com. Around ACC Nation, we'll have links to all the good stories. And if anything spectacular happens, I guess I'll write a column or something on it. So go to accnation.com and check that out. That brings up an interesting point, though. Be listening to the show over the next few weeks. Check out accnation.com because that Thursday taping has messed this show up for a long time. You know, we tape shows on Thursday, and then there's Thursday night football games, there's Thursday night basketball games, the ACC tournament starts on a Thursday. This just really messed with the show. We think we found a way around that.
A solution?
A solution to our problems. That's all I'll tell you now. Check, you know, keep coming back to accnation.com. Keep listening to the show every week. We'll have an announcement for you sometime in the near future, the very near future, within the next month or two.
Okay.
Or three. Somewhere in that time.
Sometime soon.
Yeah, we'll have an announcement for you. So we think we found our way around that. The other big thing, Evil Q, that we want to tell people, we've got the Buzz Line.
Hey, this is some cool stuff, man.
The number, 206-202-1706. If you got a cell phone, it's free. Just call it. Comments, thoughts that you have on the ACC, your favorite team, questions you have for us, questions you have for our guest, whatever. Ask the Evil Q why he's evil. Whatever you want to ask. And well, here's the deal. You call, you leave the message. If it's clean, relatively clean, we'll put it on the show. And that's, you know, it's great. It's called the Buzz Line, 206-202-1706. You can also see the number at accnation.com. Evil Q loves this.
I do. I think this is a great thing. I'm looking forward to people calling in.
Coming up on the show today, Mike Stevens of WDBJ TV7 in Roanoke, Virginia, going to talk some hokey football with us. Also, Joanne McCauley, Coach P. Why Coach P? We'll tell you. She's the new Duke women's basketball coach. She's going to join us as well. We've got the Weekend Skinny, Sound and Fury, Around ACC Nation, and much more.
Around ACC Nation. Find out what's making news 7 days a week. ACCNation.com. This is ACC Nation. The nation's hottest multimedia sports franchise, ACC Nation, where you'll find worldwide access to America's hottest sports conference, the ACC. Through our website, blogs, podcasts, radio, and at myspace.com/ACC Nation. Now, ACC Nation with Patrick Hite.
Coming up on the show today, Mike Stevens of WDBJ TV7 in Roanoke. He's a friend of the nation, and he's going to talk about Virginia Tech. Should Hokie Nation panic? That's, you know, I don't think I'll ask him that way. But Virginia Tech has struggled. They struggled mightily against LSU. They didn't look great against East Carolina or Ohio. So we'll ask Mike Stevens what's up with Virginia Tech. Also, we'll go inside the nation with Coach P, Joanne McCauley, the Duke women's basketball coach. You want to know why she's called Coach P? You got to stick around. You'll find out. Well, most of you may know that already, but if you don't, stick around and maybe Coach P will tell you why she's called Coach P. I'm excited about this. We're talking basketball. Evil Q in studio.
I'm so ready for basketball.
We got our credentials for Operation Basketball. That's got basketball in my mind. We are headed to Greensboro, North Carolina here in about a month.
Love it.
And we're going to talk to all the coaches, men's coaches, and we'll come back with lots of audio. You know, much like we had a lot of audio from the football thing this past summer, we'll do the same thing for basketball. Evil Q and I are headed to Greensboro.
Hey, and something else that we're going to try to do, and something that we did a little earlier in the summer, we're going to try to post some video of some of the coaches on YouTube. So look for that.
We're going to turn the Evil Q loose with a video camera at Operation Basketball. That's going to be very scary, and I'm waiting to see Coach K stand up and say, no video cameras, please. That's what I'm waiting to see. So we'll see. It'll be very interesting to see if they launch the Evil Q anywhere near them with a video camera. And hopefully, considering it's the Evil Q's video camera, hopefully when we go to post the video, we don't get the wrong video and have something up there that's, you know, X-rated. That's all I'm saying, you know, because I'm guessing. I've never seen any of this stuff, but I'm guessing what's on the Evil Q's video camera is not good. You got some shout-outs there, Evil?
Hey, yeah. We're going to start doing this on a regular basis. I want to say hi to some folks who are listening to us. Sapporo, Japan. Parma, Ohio. I don't even know how to pronounce the first name here. It's Chisinau, Moldova. hey, it's
probably not even close.
It's the capital of the Republic of Moldova. Thanks for listening.
Where is Moldova? I don't even know any idea where. I've never even heard of it. You sure it's a country? You're just making it up.
No, you're making
this name up.
No, it's near Hungary. It's near the Black Sea. I looked it up and was checking out their website and everything.
So
man,
we got listeners near the Black Sea.
I'd love
it.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, Statesboro, Georgia, Urbandale, Ohio, Iowa, Harkers Island, North Carolina, Hazen, North Dakota, and San Marcos, Texas.
You
hey,
know what?
Thanks for listening.
We need to pop out of a cornfield and say, salute! Just like Hee-Haw. You remember Hee-Haw?
Hee-Haw.
What a great show, Hee-Haw. I used to watch that every Saturday night or whatever it was with
me
my parents.
Me too. That's just probably explains why we're the way we are.
Let's go around ACC Nation. This is something we do every day on the website, accnation.com. We link to stories from newspapers throughout ACC Nation. Kevin Ogletree, he might play. He might not play. Virginia's wide receiver, he was hurt. Many people thought he was out for the season. It looks now that he may come back. I don't know. I mean, you look at Virginia and you say that could. One of their big problems this year has been offense. So the addition of Ogletree.
Just one?
Well, okay, that's one of their problems. Their defense is still good. They've struggled at points, but they're still good. A good defense. So their offense could use Ogletree coming back. So you wonder, I don't know, you wonder if he comes back, if he's going to be completely healthy, or if it's better just to sit out and take that redshirt year. I don't know. But the talk now is he could. That came out of the blue to me. I thought he was gone for the season, and I saw the story. I think I saw the story on, I think it was on the Times-Dispatch. I'm not sure. I think Jeff White might have had that story. Who knows? Might have been Doug Dowdy at the Roanoke Times. I get those two mixed up.
They look so much alike.
They look nothing alike. They're nothing alike in person if you ever meet these guys. But anyway, I think one of those two had that story. The other story coming out of Virginia is field goal gate, something like that.
Okay.
This whole thing last weekend, North Carolina, Virginia, the field goal that was no good, and then it was good. Then North Carolina said, Butch Davis said, we don't think they had the right to review that because apparently he thought some student managers came and told Al Groh what had happened, and that's why they reviewed it. So, I don't know. I think Butch Davis is making up rules as he goes. I don't know if there's any rule saying that student managers can't alert the coach to a review. I don't know. I think Butch Davis is new now to the ACC, and he's just making up rules as he goes.
Don't play cards
anyway,
with that guy.
He protested. The ACC said, it's all good. Here's my thought. You know, it was a good field goal. The field goal was good.
Yes.
Their officials got it wrong to begin with. They got it right. Let it go. You know, if Butch Davis wants to argue and say, well, they didn't have the right to review it, just accept the fact they got it right. That's what review is there for. It's to make sure that nothing goes, you know, blatantly at least, that's wrong, gets by. It didn't. It worked well in this case. Let it go. You lost the game, not because of that field goal.
No.
That's not the reason you lost the game. You lost the game because of a couple of crucial turnovers late in the game and because you stunk in the first half.
Yeah.
Because you got yourself in a deep hole and you couldn't get out. So, you know, if you're Butch Davis, just, you know, you're improving. Your team's getting better. Don't go and do this.
Be a man, Butch.
Anyway, the ACC said, it's all okay. It's all good. And one more thing I wanted to mention real quick. We're going to run out of time. I know Norman Chad from the Washington Post. He had a great column. He's not giving any more money to Maryland because of the athletics program. Now, I want to read this just from that column. This is from Norman Chad in the Washington Post. Our priorities are screwed up. We spend far too much time on fumbles and fast breaks. Why should a football coach be the face of the university? Why not an electrical and computer engineer who is doing breakthrough work in the areas of magnetism, nanotechnology, and biochemical detection? Should a bigger weight room ever be a priority? Do we even need a weight room? They're student athletes. I love this part. Have them lift some books once in a while. Start with thin volumes like The Cat in the Hat and The Old Man and the Sea. Have them work their way up to look Homeward Angel and Moby Dick. Heck, the O-line should be able to bench press Don Quixote by mid-season. I love that. You know, I don't necessarily. Part of this is tongue-in-cheek, I'm sure, from Norman Chad. If you know Norman Chad, I think that's part of this. I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that. Football and these the sports that are on TV, they do a great service to the universities. It's free advertising. You know what? I'm sorry. You can sit out there and say, and a lot of people do, even sports fans say, oh, you know, football, it's too much to get too much credit and too much attention paid to it. Too much money goes to it. And I think a lot of these fans are just trying to make sure they don't look like Neanderthals by saying we love sports, but sports is great. It gives free advertising to these teams. You look at any school, once they win a championship, once they have a big season, you look at the next year and enrollment goes up. Applications go up. That's applications right. For enrollment go up. So don't tell me that we needed, you know, make sure that sports. He mentioned Vanderbilt, who did away with their athletics department. They don't have an athletics director down there anymore. He said that's a start.
Well, for Vanderbilt, that was a really good start for them.
But anyway, go to accnation.com, check out Around ACC, and that story's in there someplace, and you can check it. It's a very, very funny story. Norman Chad's great. He's funny. He just happens to be wrong in this case. We'll take a break, and we'll talk next with Mike Stevens of WDBJ TV7 in Roanoke. And before we go to break, I want to mention, we've got a free newsletter. Make sure that you sign up for it. Send us an email, accnation@gmail.com, or just go to accnation.com and sign up for the free newsletter so you don't miss a thing on accnation.com.
We want to hear from you. Comment at accnation.com. The kids are tired of eating Beanie Weenies, so accnation.com and amazon.com have teamed up to put the best ACC team gear and accessories into your hands. Just click on the check at accnation.com. This is ACC Nation.
Don't forget, the buzz line is open, 206-202-1706. Your comments, your questions, any thought you have on the ACC, as long as you keep it clean, we will get it on the air. Again, 206-202-1706. Still to come on the show, we've got Joanne McCauley, the new Duke women's basketball coach. We'll talk some hoops with Coach P, as she is known in Durham. But right now, we're going to talk some more football. And I think this is the first time we've had him on this fall. It's good to have our good friend Mike Stevens back, sports director of WDBJ TV7 in Roanoke. Mike, what's up?
No, not a whole lot. When football gets started, you know, Patrick, it's kind of nonstop. And I apologize for not getting to you earlier this season, but great to be with you tonight.
It's good to have you. And let's talk about these Hokies. Let's start with Tyrod Taylor. Your impressions of him from after his first start last weekend?
I would say Tyrod Taylor, unlike the team as a whole, is probably better than advertised. Tech got too much hype to start the season. Tyrod didn't get much, especially because most folks thought he might be redshirted. I think for what he has done in a game and a quarter or a game and a half, if you want to call it that, I think he's just been absolutely tremendous, especially the poise. The numbers may not be as outstanding as you would like, but I think for the situations he's been put in and the amount of pressure that's been put on him in a short time, I think he's done a great job.
Let me ask you this, because we talked to Jeff White last week, and he covers Virginia for the Times-Dispatch, and I asked Jeff, because Virginia had struggled so much early in the season, and then they made that quarterback switch, and I guess now they're going with two quarterbacks. But, you know, I asked him, I said, is it really just a quarterback? Because quarterbacks get so much credit when things go right and so much blame when things go wrong. Or are there other problems with that Virginia team? And, you know, he surprised me a little bit. He said he felt like it really was the quarterback. That was a main issue, especially in that Wyoming loss. He thought that was a big issue for the Cavaliers, was quarterback play. Your thoughts now, Sean Glennon got a lot of blame early this season. Do you think that was now the LSU tore apart that Virginia Tech defense, but do you think one of the big problems was quarterback?
I might be in the minority, but I really do not. I really think that when Frank Beamer, if you read between the lines on the press release he put out the day that he named Tyrod the starter, he said, this is nothing against Sean. T Tyrod just fits better with the personnel we have now. In other words, our line is so bad, he can run away and not get killed as fast. That's basically what Frank Beamer was saying. The line problems at Tech have not stopped. They still have a porous offensive line. Tyrod just gives them more options. The defense has to respect him for the run. They can't pin their ears back in a passing situation. Somebody's got to stay home, be a shadow on him. So it gives them more options and a better chance to be successful. I just think Sean Glennon was a victim of the circumstance that his offensive line was not up to par to where it needed to be to compete, especially at that LSU level.
Okay, so what do they do to fix the offensive line problems?
I don't think they fixed it this year, and I don't know that it would have been better. I think what's happened is, in my opinion, they had a really neat built-in crutch. When Ed Wang, who was a highly touted tight end, moved to offensive tackle, and there were just rave reviews about him in the spring, and then he broke his ankle. Well, I think everyone said, well, if Wang had been in there, we wouldn't have these problems. Understand, Ed Wang has never played a game as an offensive lineman other than a tight end. So it's a big difference when you move over a spot. So I just think that the offensive line is really not where it needs to be for this team to have been in the top 10 in the preseason and have all the hype about maybe running the table if it could have beaten LSU.
Mike Stevens, WDBJ TV7 in Roanoke, Virginia, joining us here on The Nation. Okay, so we may see problems continue on this offense throughout the season. How about the defense? Are they getting back after that LSU game? I think they improved tremendously last week against Ohio. Are they back to where everybody thought they would be?
Well, you know, there was a great analogy made, and it sounded really silly when Bud Foster did it in the preseason, but he had so many starters back on defense. And he said, what I'm trying to do is get my defense to understand, like a tomato or any other vegetable or fruit, when you're ripe, the next thing you're going to be is rotten. And what he meant by that, he had all these players who were preseason All-Americans, preseason All-Conference. What else could they accomplish? They were already ripe. Well, sure enough, they didn't play that great against East Carolina, and they got smoked at LSU, and so they were exactly what he told them they would be. They were absolutely rotten. So what they've done, they've kind of gone back to a mentality that they're just now becoming real on the vine, and that's what they're trying to do. They want to take it back to the basics. I can tell you that the seniors, especially Vince Hall and Xavier Adibi, are taking it upon themselves to make sure no one takes a play off the rest of this season, because it was an absolute embarrassment the way they played at LSU.
Now, the season is not lost for this team, and I want to get your thoughts on how the fans feel about that and how this team feels about it, because it's certainly, yeah, if they were looking at a dark horse national championship, that was lost after that LSU game. But they still have a lot of ACC football to play. They have yet to play an ACC game. They could win an ACC championship. Is that the way sort of the players are approaching this?
That's exactly how the whole team is approaching it. But, Patrick, you make a great point. Here we are, three games into the season, and we just have to remind people that the season is not lost. And it's the same thing that happened to Frank Beamer during the offseason. His team won 10 games last year, and he was an apologist for his team everywhere he went. It's just the way we are now with the 24-hour news cycle, with the expectations that people have and the ownership, in my opinion, that they have, because they pay $40, $50 a ticket. The fans feel like they deserve a whole lot more than they did back in the 1980s and 70s when they bought a ticket.
Yeah, and college football, I think, is part of it. I mean, you certainly see this in basketball, too. But in basketball, if a much-hyped team struggles early, gets blown out early, there's still thoughts, they can come back. As long as they make the tournament, they can make a run. But in college football, that's so different because, you know, if you are thinking about a national championship, you lose that first game, it's pretty much out the window.
It is, and one of the things that's very interesting this year for Tech, and you alluded to it, they've not played an ACC game yet. The way their schedule was set this year is the way that Frank Beamer has tried to get it for several years. He wants all the non-conference games early. He doesn't want one thrown in the middle of November somewhere to get you off your stride. He wants all this out of the way, and then it's bang, 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 right down the line, all conference games the rest of the way after they get through William & Mary this weekend.
And what about William & Mary? Are they going to pose much of a threat at all to the Hokies?
I think offensively, William & Mary has some talent. You know, obviously, I like the quarterback a lot. Jacob Phillips went to Bath County, played so well there, led them to a state championship. I think he is just the real deal. I mean, he's a kid who is a throwback to the old way quarterback was played, drop back passer. He's not afraid to run. He's very intelligent. Right now he leads all of Division I AA in passing offense, so he can get the job done. The problem is I don't think William & Mary is going to be able to get Tech blocked enough, and William & Mary's defense is just really not that good. And that's going to be, I think, the biggest problem that you're going to see.
And, Micah, we'll get you out of here on this one. Stick it in. We haven't even talked about this on the show yet, but that famous chant at Virginia Tech football games, and it was banned before last weekend's game. First of all, I didn't see the game. Did the fans still chant that? And is that just much ado about nothing? Is that just sort of gotten blown out of proportion maybe?
Well, there's a whole push that's been made in the last 2 years by Athletic Director Jim Weaver to try to increase sportsmanship at games. And I think this year you saw a tremendous show of sportsmanship when East Carolina came and the Tech fans all chanted from one side to the other, "Thank you, Pirates," after they donated the money. I think there's no reason to believe that the sportsmanship wouldn't have been fine on its own. To me personally, this is a micromanagement thing on behalf of Jim Weaver. I don't think you can legislate and dictate everything the fans say. You can say there's a negative and a sexual or a bad connotation to what they're chanting. This has been going on for years. They've got shirts printed up. I think there's a whole lot worse that could be legislated and stopped if he wanted to put the effort into it. For instance, I saw a very well-written, thought-out letter to the editor in one of the papers up here from a parent of the Marching Virginians, a player who is in that band, and said, look, if you want to pick on the band, that's fine, but you might want to do a better job of keeping alcohol from being carried into the stadium since that's actually against the law. So I think you're picking on an issue here. I don't understand why it's stuck in Jim Weaver's craw the way it did, but I will tell you this, as you can imagine with college students, it didn't stop last week. In fact, it was a little bit louder.
I would imagine that would have been the case. Mike, as always, we appreciate your time.
Oh, it's great to be with you, and look forward to talking to you later in the season.
Thanks a lot. Mike Stevens, a sports director down at WDBJ TV7 in Roanoke, Virginia. And, wow, some strong statements from Mike. That's why we like having him on. He gave us some strong statements about that team and his thoughts on the offense, and he didn't think the problems were going to be fixed this year. And some strong statements about Jim Weaver and his ban on stick it in. And the Evil Q loves that chant.
I love that chant. Go for it. Do it.
Mike Stevens, WDBJ TV7. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll talk to Coach McCauley. She is the new women's basketball coach at Duke. And we thought it's September. It's time to talk some basketball. We'll do that next on The Nation.
Be a part of AZC Nation at myspace.com/ACC Nation. This is ACC Nation. Join us each week up close and personal. Call the ACCNation.com buzz line at 206-202-1706. That's 206-202-1706. The ACC's hottest blog on ACCNation.com.
Be sure to check out ACCNation.com for the latest news, and make sure you check out Around ACC Nation for every day. We give you the daily headlines for what's going on around the conference, so check that out, ACCNation.com. But right now, football season's going so bad for the ACC, we're just ready to get into basketball season, so let's talk some basketball right now with Joanne McCauley, the new women's coach at Duke. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Patrick. Great to be here.
And I guess now Duke has Coach K, and then for so long they had Coach G. You're known as Coach P, is that correct?
Yeah, Coach P. Have been for a long time. My maiden name is Palumbo. I'm a Paisan, and yeah, Coach P. And now they're kind of having fun with me here, though. They're calling me Coach P Mac, and I'm not sure what that's all about, really. Somebody started that somewhere, but yeah, Coach P. Kind of basic, I know, but it fits anyway.
It fits. It fits with the alphabet soup at Duke, apparently, with all the... Now, give us your thoughts so far. I mean, you came in the spring. You've had the summer. You actually were off coaching the U21, under U21 team, I guess, the under 21 team, and you had Abby Wehner on that team, so you got a chance to coach one of your future players. But how has the summer and the transition to Duke been?
Well, it's been pretty lively, I must admit. 26 days away, coaching for USA made it more interesting, but it was so great to be with Abby for that team and to bring the gold home with a great group of women. We've been busy. I'm very impressed with the team's willingness to work hard, to go after things a little bit. We've been working hard in the weight room, conditioning, on the court, all the different things that we're allowed to do in September. And we're very excited. You know, we just want to get better every single day and want to enjoy being us and getting as much out of each individual member of the team as we possibly can.
Joanne, coaching with the USA team and having a chance to coach, I have a two-part question. Having a chance to coach Abby and getting that that chance to work with her over the summer, how much is that going to help once you get into to the season?
Well, I think it's been great. I think it's been a nice shortcut for me and Abby to get to know each other and understand some of the things I'm trying to do and understand the things that she is capable of doing. So I think it helped us, no doubt. We've had a lot of great conversations. Abby is a very special player, and I think her best playing days are ahead of her in regard to all the things that she can do. So I think that was a big plus, and it was something I enjoy. You know, representing your country is a very, very special thing. And we had some tough teams to play in a tough environment, so it was a positive all the way around.
Now, the other part of that question, you had a chance to coach, at least I know at least one other ACC player was on that team, Crystal Langhorne. I'm not sure if there were others or not. But does that help, the fact that you get to coach somebody that you're going to be coaching against this year? I've wondered this. I don't know if anybody else has wondered this, but do you get some tendencies or whatever working with them that maybe you can use to your advantage this season?
Well, I coach both Crystal Langhorne and Laura Harper, and they're both fantastic people. You know, I don't know. I suppose you could get tendencies, yes. I mean, you become familiar with their game, but the bottom line is those women are very talented and they're very, very good. And so I enjoyed that opportunity. Crystal in particular was an incredible force for USA basketball this summer. And Harp did a great job too. So yes, I might know them a little bit better, but I'm not sure that's going to help the situation. They're both extremely difficult to stop and play very hard, and they've, you know, pretty much put that program on their back, and they've done that admirably.
Yeah, knowing what they're going to do and stopping what they're going to do, that's two different things. That's
yeah, right, exactly.
Joanne McCauley joining us here, Duke women's basketball coach, and let's look at this season. We've talked about Abby Wehner. I think everybody knows her, especially with Allison Bales going and Lindsay Harding going last year. Abby Wehner, I guess, first, do you think she's ready, or does she need to really sort of take this program on her shoulders? Does she need to be the marquee player this year, or is that asking too much of Abby?
Well, I just don't believe in that construct at all. I don't believe in any one player. I don't care who you are. I don't believe in that. It's a team sport. Abby's terrifically talented, as are many of the players on our team. And so that tends to be more what the media likes to do, you know, pick players. I'm all about teams, you know, coaching teams and having teams do well. And, you know, we don't have any predictions about anything except that we're going to work really hard and get the most out of each other. So I guess I would just say that we need to be a full team, and we need to be able to do a lot of different things this year, and we're going to need a lot of different people to step up for us to, you know, pursue championships for sure.
Okay, talk about some of those other players. Talk about some of those players that need to step up and make this a team.
Well, I mean, Juanisha, you know, a special player as a senior, and the experience that she has, and also in making a transition to going after, you know, a more athletic and even more physical and more aggressive game all the way around. So I think she's special. Shantae Black is back after injury. How tough she can be after being off the floor, I think, will be a fun thing to watch. She's very, very talented. You know, Emily Wehner is also a senior, and she has shown great leadership and poise in very critical situations. So her developing her game further, Joy Cheek, another person who has done some very good things. Bridgette Mitchell, I would also talk about. Karim Gay. I mean, there are so many different people that have an incredible opportunity. And our first-year student-athletes all are trying to make an impact, and they are doing that. You know, Jasmine and Crystal and Karima. So, you know, then, of course, there's Brittany Mitch, another player who's been injured but now becoming healthy and is very versatile. So, you know, Keturah Jackson, another kid who didn't play a lot of minutes but is kind of a changed player in terms of getting ready for this season and what she can do. So, you know, there's just a lot of different players. I really it's hard to select any one person, and it will be interesting to see how each of them rises and learns how to play together.
Duke Coach P joining us here, or Coach P Mac, as the players know her, joining us here on ACC Nation. Okay, what can fans expect from Duke basketball this season? What do they expect? You come in now. Talk about your offense. Talk about your defense. What can they expect to see on the court?
Well, I mean, obviously they're just terrific tradition at Duke, as you know. But they can expect to see a team that plays together. They can expect to see a team that plays very, very hard. And they're also going to see a very versatile team, but also can play a half-court game and be very, very effective. So we've got to really be all things. If we're to have the kind of success in March that we would hope for, you've got to play all facets of the game. You can't be a specialist. You've got to be a versatile, very dedicated team.
And we've spent football season talking about new coaching staffs and how does that affect a team and how long does it take a team to really adjust to a new coach. And it may be a little different in football because you have so many coaches. But what about basketball? How tough is it to transition for you, but also for the players? Is it going to be one of those things where it's going to be a learning curve and it's going to take them a while to adjust to it, or is it not?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I can't speak for everybody. I can say that change is a really interesting dynamic, and it has a way to get people out of their comfort zones. And in that way, I think change is fantastic, and I embrace it because it demands that you think outside the box, and that's exactly what I want this team to do. So in this case, you're talking about young people, meaning they don't have extended families and, you know, I mean, they're just taking care of themselves, you know, primarily. I think that we've got an opportunity to use this change in a very positive way. The energy the team has, certainly, and the understanding that we got to think outside the box, that it's not okay to think what I did last year was okay. Everyone's got to get better. And I think it really drives the accountability factor. And it's something I'm very, very excited about.
Do you like the fact that that Abby Wainer has said, we've got that Rutgers game circled on the schedule. We want Rutgers after what they did to us, knocked us out of the tournament last year. Do you like your players saying, we've got this game circled?
No, not really. They circle every game. They all matter. You know, they all matter a great deal. I think it's fine. Players have a chance. You know, they want to circle games. But the bottom line is every game counts. And I don't care who you play. I don't care when you play them. It's an anytime, anyplace, anywhere mentality. So all I can say is I'm motivated for every game, and every game is going to be a challenge until we prove otherwise. And so I think that's an important concept of a champion. I mean, you look at teams in NCAA tournaments, you look at teams looking past other teams and not being fully aware, and it will cost you greatly. So my attitude is that every game counts.
Well, Coach P, we appreciate your time very much, and I'd like to get you back on ACC Nation again, but we're a couple of months away from the season now, so we appreciate your time very much.
Well, thank you, Patrick. I appreciate the opportunity.
And that is Coach P, Joanne McCauley, joining us. Palumbo, though, is her middle name. I guess that was her maiden name. It's her middle name now, and she's known as Coach P. Was known as Coach P at Michigan State, known as Coach P or Coach P Mac. What are those Duke kids doing? I have no idea what those Duke kids are doing. Coach P Mac, but they think differently. They're smarter. They're supposed to be smarter than the rest of us. So maybe it has something to do with that. Maybe I'm not intelligent enough to understand what PMAC means. But we thank Coach P for joining us, and wish them the best of luck this season. We'll take a break and be back next on ACC Nation.
This is ACC Nation. The world is in tune with ACCNation.com. 80% of America. 31 foreign countries. Thank you for listening, reading, expressing your opinions, and clicking our chick. ACCNation.com. Make it your homepage. This is ACC Nation.
Check out ACCNation.com, and here's what we want you to do. I want you to look at the left-hand side of the page. There's a listener survey there, and if you can give us some comments, some feedback, so we can make this show better for you. Because we know it stinks right now.
Terrible.
It's a horrible show. But you know what? With your feedback, we can get it from stinking to mediocre. That's our hope. So go check it out, accnation.com. It's on the left-hand side of the page, listener survey. No obligation to you. Just click on it. It's free. You go in, you answer some questions, and then the show will be leaps and bounds better.
That's right.
The next few weeks.
Take a moment.
Time now for the weekend skinny.
Neither one of us.
The Evil Q loves the weekend skinny.
Yes, I do.
And you can check it out on accnation.com as well. It's details about all the games coming up this weekend and my prediction on who will win. And we'll get the Evil Q's thoughts on who's going to win as well. Let's start with our big game. Clemson at North Carolina State. And some people are saying, why is that the big game? Here's my thought on why that's the big game.
Okay, let's
Clemson's
hear it.
Clemson's got to prove themselves. Clemson right now is 3-0, but I have seen nothing out of this team since the first half of the Florida State game. They played the first half great, and then they were horrible in the second half, and they played Louisiana, Monroe, and Furman. And they've shown me nothing in those games. So to me, okay, NC State, not great, but Clemson's going on the road. They've got a new quarterback in Colin Harper who's got to prove himself on the road, and it's an ACC game.
This is a valid point you have here. Now, I'm beginning to see the method to your madness.
See, if you listen to me long enough, you'll see some wisdom. I think this is a big game for Clemson, a big game for State. If State could get a win, it'd be huge for them, but I think it's a bigger game for Clemson just to prove to some of the naysayers that they are for real this year.
Well, they have to pound NC State in order to prove that.
Now, here's the thing. The weird thing about about Clemson so far this year is that they're worried about their running game. Everybody thought that was going to be their MO, right? Their calling card was going to be their running backs. James Davis, CJ Spiller, those two, maybe the best tandem in college football.
I agree.
But they've struggled so far. Colin Harper, he's done a good job. But The running attack has struggled. Now, last year, you remember, starting with Virginia Tech, teams found a way to go in and shut down that running. They'd put a lot of people up in the box, shut down the running attack, and forced Will Proctor to throw the ball. And we learned quickly, Will Proctor couldn't throw the ball. Well, he could throw it, just not accurately. And so, the teams are doing the same thing this year, and Colin Harper is proving that he can throw the ball. So here's, we got a chance to talk to Tommy Bowden on this week's press conference, and he had a chance to address that issue. What's wrong with the running game? Are teams forcing you to throw the ball?
So yeah, we've definitely seen that. Now it's easier, you know. You can teach a, you can teach a daggone reporter in 10 minutes how to handle the ball off, and then just take a snap, go hand it off one of them. That's the easiest thing to do. So the hardest thing to do is make the quarterback go back there and throw. So teams are stacking it up and stopping Davis and Spiller and making them throw the ball. So the hand it off part's easy. So they say, okay, if we stop them guys, let's make him do something harder than handing it off. So to what extent NC State's going to do it, whether they can get four-man pressure and stop our running game with, you know, maybe six in the box or six and a half and then play defend with the other five and a half or four and a half, it's going to kind of be interesting to see what kind of approach they take to us. But I would say it's definitely going to have a flair of Kentucky.
Okay, you heard Tommy Bowden mention Kentucky, and here's why he mentioned Kentucky. Mike Archer. The interesting thing about this weekend's game, Mike Archer, the defensive coordinator at State, was the defensive coordinator at Kentucky last year in the bowl game. Kentucky beat Clemson in the Music City Bowl, I believe it was. And so it's natural to ask, okay, they had so much success against you stopping the run at Kentucky. Can Mike Archer do the same thing against you? Granted, different personnel, but this weekend when he's coaching NC State. Now, in the middle of this, you'll hear J.P. Giglio. He is with the News and Observer, and he runs a great blog, too, by the way, at ACC Now. You can check that out, the News and Observer's website. But he asked a question in the middle of this, so that's the voice you will hear. Once again, Tommy Bowden.
Yeah, I would think he's got to be looking at the same thing we're doing. You know, we've got the same offensive coordinator, and he did a good job of stopping us. He had a great scheme, and I'm sure a lot of that, I should say a lot, some of it will be implemented, I'm sure, based on the success he had for us in the bowl game. But he's got a little bit different personnel there at NC State, and he's got a different staff, so I'm sure he's gotten some input from his other staff members, but again, you know, you can't argue with success, and he surely had it against us in the bowl game.
Was there anything specifically they did in that bowl that worked against you guys?
Well, you know, like I say, 130 yards rushing. You know, we got some pretty good backs. And he shut both of them down, and then they made us try to attempt passes under pressure, and we couldn't do it. They did a good job of pressuring our quarterback. So that would be probably the two main things.
So Clemson's got to figure a way to get their running backs to be more productive than they have been. James Davis has done pretty good. C.J. Spiller, he's the big question mark. So far, he hasn't been real productive. So, of course, Tom O'Brien, he's got to figure a way to keep them non-productive. Is that the correct word?
Non-productive.
Non-productive for one more week at least. And that's Tom O'Brien's mission at North Carolina State this weekend. Here's what OB had to say.
It doesn't matter who's in the game. I think you have to try to get yourself in two-on-one situations where we have two guys and it's either Davis or Spiller, because if you get into a lot of one-on-one situations, you know, you can end up losing because they have such great moves and such outstanding speed. You know, the other thing is we got to make sure we tackle. If you look at a lot of their yards comes after either they make you miss or after they break a tackle. So, you know, it's key to get as many guys to the football as we can all the time. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, they do a good job in creating situations where you can't allow that to happen. So we just have to keep working hard and get them to the ground when they have the ball.
And that was Tom O'Brien, North Carolina State's head coach, getting ready to face Clemson this weekend. And he's got to figure out how to stop the run. But here's the thing. Clemson, I think, will get healthy this week because NC State is ranked 101st in the nation against defending the run. They do pretty good against defending the pass, but against the run, they're horrible. So if Clemson's going to get healthy with their running game, this is the weekend to do it. But I mentioned earlier, I'm interested in seeing how Clemson does on the road, how Colin Harper does on the road, their first big test, and their first ACC game, their second ACC game, but their first on the road. I'm interested to see how that team handles it. And now, do I think they're going to handle it well? Yeah. I think they'll go into NC State. I think they'll win this game. Your thoughts. Do you think that the Wolfpack can pull this upset?
No upset on the part of the Wolfpack. Clemson takes this game without any problem. The question, and we were discussing this and also talking with some of the bloggers about this, some of the comments that are on their blog page at accnation.com. This year, a big question, quarterbacks, offensive lines. My question is this. The caliber of team that Clemson has played so far, nothing to shout about.
Florida State, you know? Yeah, they've got something. They've got a decent defense, right?
I'll give them that much, but you know, the other two teams, Louisiana Who and Furman, okay?
Poor Louisiana Monroe. Come on. Gee whiz. Give them some love.
I love your cheerleaders. But here's the deal.
They're all male cheerleaders down there. Did you know that? No.
Thank you. You just ruined my entire day. But here's the thing. I really think that the offensive line, not only at Clemson, but at a lot of other schools this year, they're just not performing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think the offensive lines have problems. And quarterback, that's been brought up. You know my thoughts on quarterbacks. I think it's just a bunch of young quarterbacks, a bunch of inexperienced quarterbacks. You look at the most experienced quarterback in the ACC this year, Matt Ryan. They're mentioning him as a possible Heisman candidate.
I don't see that.
I do.
Man.
Hey, question of the week. Check it out. Question of the week. He is a candidate. Look around the nation. Who else is out there? Matt Ryan is a legitimate candidate for the
Heisman. You are enamored with Boston College. That's all I can tell you.
Go Boston College.
You love
Boston.
You have become a beaner.
I think he's a legitimate candidate for Heisman Trophy. But that being said, you've got him. And otherwise, you've got Drew Weatherford, you've got Kyle Wright. They've got experience, but they've struggled. The only thing I can explain about them is they're mediocre. They're just not going to ever be anything other than that. You've got Colin Harper. This is his first year playing. You've got freshmen and Tyrod Taylor at Virginia Tech, TJ Yates down at North Carolina. You've got a couple of quarterbacks at Virginia who are rotating. One's a true freshman in Lalek Sewell. He started last year, but he's still young. You've got Harrison Beck, who was a transfer and sat out last year at NC State, so it's his first year starting. You've really got just a lot. Taylor Bennett, he's been in the program, but it's his first year starting after the Reggie Ball experiment for the last 4 years at Georgia Tech. So you've got a lot of young and a lot of inexperienced quarterbacks. I think next year you'll see them take a step forward, and you'll see the ACC take a step forward because of that.
Let's continue with the weekend. You've got me off on a tangent. Let's continue with the weekend, Skinny. Georgia Tech at Virginia. Tashard Choice, maybe, maybe not. Doesn't matter. Georgia Tech rolls in this game.
Mm. You know, I'm going to go. I'm going to go for the upset special.
Oh, yeah. You know what? The only thing you have on your side is Georgia Tech has not won in Charlottesville since 1990. 1990. That
amazes me.
Time ago. Of course, you know, they only play there whatever other year or whatever. Still, that's a long time. That's a long time not to have won. But this is the year they break that streak. But you're going with, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I go Georgia Tech 28, Virginia 9. North Carolina at South Florida. Yeah, I love my Tar Heels. They don't win this game. South Florida's good. 23rd ranked team. The only thing I can hope for as a Tar Heel is that South Florida's caught looking ahead. They play West Virginia next week. Huge Big East game. Maybe they're looking ahead, but it's in sunny South Florida, which, to be honest, I'm not sure. South Florida. I'm not even sure where that is. I think South Florida in Tampa.
Somewhere south.
I don't even think it's south. I think it's in Tampa. I think that's the truth. But anyway, South Florida wins.
I'm going with the Tar Heels on this one. And I'll tell you why. Is because in the second half of the UVA game.
You smoking something over there?
No. Are we smoking?
I
smell like we're smoking.
I'm just wondering. I mean, Virginia, North Carolina.
No, come on. It's in the water. You're looking around. You're giving me these weird looks, man. You're freaking me out.
I'm just wondering what's going on.
I watched that game against UVA, and man, they started coming back in the second half. They started getting
UVA.
It together.
It's against UVA.
But they started piecing it together.
Fine. They can piece it all together. South Florida's good. South Florida wins. Army at Boston College. I guess the evil Q will go with Army in this one. Now, BC rolls 38-3. They got the three tough games out of the way. Now they got some easy games. They got Army. They got, two other easy games. Massachusetts, I think, is on the schedule. Somebody else, and then Notre Dame. That's four straight easy games for Boston College. They start with Army. They roll 38-3.
I'll agree with that.
Duke at Navy. Duke won a game last week. Can they make it two in a row?
No.
No, I don't think so either. I think every other September, I wrote this someplace, on one of the stories, every other September, they get a win.
That's right.
Whether they need it or not. Navy wins this game 26-7. Navy put up 31 points against Ball State.
Ooh.
Over 500 yards offense. So, you know, I don't know, Ball State, the only thing I know about them, David Letterman went there, right? I think
sure.
So. But Duke, I'm guessing they're better than Duke. I'm guessing Ball State's better than Duke. So Navy wins that game. William and Mary at Virginia Tech. We talked to Mike Stevens earlier. He thinks William and Mary has a good offense, good quarterback. Virginia Tech wins this game, though.
I like their quarterback, too. I have seen this kid in action up close and even when he was in high school. And he's quite spectacular. He's doing very well.
Yeah, but that was in Bath County, a single A school in Virginia.
Yeah.
Big difference between that and Virginia Tech.
Tech takes this one without any problem.
Maryland at Wake Forest. That's the other game. That was the other game I considered as the big game. Maryland comes in, they've got some question marks, but to me, Wake Forest has more question marks. Wake Forest has not looked, you know, everybody said, oh, are they a fluke? Last year they won a championship. Could it be a fluke? And all of us so-called experts said, no, it's not a fluke. And I said that, and no, it wasn't a fluke. They earned it. They deserved the ACC championship. I still feel that way, but they're not doing much to back up that thought pattern. They're really looking bad this year. They lost their first two games. And then they beat Army last week, but I pointed this out someplace. So many stories out there. I can't remember where I pointed these out. It's on accnation.com, though. I pointed this out. The Army offense outscored Wake's offense 10-7. Wake had a defensive touchdown and a kick return for a touchdown. That was the 21-10 margin. But offensively, Army won 10-7. That scares you. Wake Forest loses this game. Upset special. You gave a couple upset specials. This is my upset special. Maryland goes into Winston-Salem and wins this game.
I'm gonna go just a little counter to you. I'm gonna say the same thing, but I don't view it as an upset. I think Maryland is the better team, and Fred Terp is gonna love me for that.
Yes, because it's still I think it's gonna be considered an upset because Maryland is still looked at as a mediocre team. Wake Forest is the defending champions. At some point, they've got to turn it around now. I think a big part of their problem, Riley Skinner. He's not been playing. He's been hurt. I think that's a huge part of their problem. We talked about quarterbacks. I didn't mention him. He was a starter last year. He's young, but he's been hurt this year. And so if he plays, he might be ineffective. If he doesn't play, then you've got Brett Hodges, who has not lit it up this year so far. So to me, that's a problem. If Riley Skinner comes back once he's healthy, then Wake Forest might be more like the Wake Forest of last year. But for now, Maryland gets this win on the road. That is it for the Weekend Skinny. That's how it works. We'll do it every week. The Weekend Skinny. I like that. You can check it out online too, accnation.com. Sound and Fury is up next.
This is ACC Nation.
Hey, Bubba, we need a favor. No, we don't want to borrow your girlfriend to impress the boss again. We just need you to take the PodTrack survey at accnation.com. Just click on PodTrack survey for us. Thanks, Bubba.
And now, the Sound and Fury.
A quick thanks to our guest, Mike Stevens of WDBJ TV7 in Roanoke, Virginia, for talking some Hokie football with us. And Coach P, Joanne McCauley, the new Duke women's basketball coach, for joining us on Inside the Nation. Time now for the Sound and the Fury. And you can go now, if you want to know what we do on accnation.com, just go to the website and you look at what we do on the left side of the page. We've got a schedule. So like on Mondays, it's the question of the week and power poll. You gotta check out that power poll. I had some people that were upset I didn't move Duke up. Duke got a win. They're still in last place. So go and check that out. I've got my reasoning all there. Then on Tuesdays, it's the Tuesday 12. On Wednesdays, it's Sound and Fury. And on Thursdays, it's Inside the Nation. We got a good interview with Roman Gabriel, former NC State great, on there this week. And also the Weekend Skinny. You're going to want to check that out. And of course, the podcast every Friday. Every Friday from now. Just throw that out there. Make sure you check that out, accnation.com.
Changes coming soon.
Very, very soon. Time now for the Sound and Fury, though. And I want to get your thoughts on this, Evil Q. I think the polls come out too early. You're going to get on me again for this. Boston College looks so good right now, but they don't have a chance for a national championship. And maybe they wouldn't anyway. USC, LSU, Oklahoma, head and shoulders above everybody, probably. But Boston College started the season not in the polls. They weren't ranked. They were among those other teams getting votes. Now, they're 3-0 to start the season. They're going to be 6-0, 7-0. They're going to roll through the next four games. They finally get tested again against Virginia Tech. At that point, you know, maybe they'll have climbed close to the top 10. They're number 14 right now. But my thought is, if you wait, if you take these polls, since they mean so much, in basketball they mean nothing, but in football they mean so much. If you wait until October, the 1st of October, to make your first rankings, then you've got a better idea. Michigan wouldn't be in the top five, which they were in the preseason. Florida State was ranked in the top 25. They've lost again. They haven't looked that good. Virginia Tech was ranked in the top 10. Louisville was in the top 10. They've both lost so far. Boston College is now creeping up. But to me, if you had done this the 1st of October, maybe Boston College starts then in the top 10 someplace. To me, the polls come out too early.
I actually agree with you 100% on this one, because I watch something very similar that goes on in the high school ranks, and they wait for at least 4 to 5 weeks. They let everything settle down, make no presumptions, and then they start looking at how everyone's performing, and it's realistic. It's a realistic poll, and I'm telling you, the preseason polls and the polls that we go into the season with are so stacked in favor of certain people, and it's wrong. It's so inaccurate. It's off the wall. And, you know, just because Michigan State has always been there, or Notre Dame has always been there, or USC is always, you know, it's just everybody goes, well, gee whiz, they're going to have a great team again next year, and we ought to put them right there in the top 25. Malarkey.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for backing me up. And again, go to accnation.com, check out the Sound and Fury, and give us your thoughts. We'd love to know what you think. And we also call our buzz line. I've lost the number.
206-202-1706.
It's someplace
always
on the floor here. I know that.
I've always got the thing right on the tip of my tongue. 206-202-1706.
And you go to accnation.com, and the number's there as well. And we will play your comments on the air. Make sure you check that out.
Scary.
And make sure you get your calls in this week. Let us know what you think. That is it. Thanks to our guest again. Thanks to the Evil Q. Have a great weekend.